And for those of us who remain, let's take out our Bibles and turn together to the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. We're going to read from John 6 in a few moments, but let me just say a few words of introduction and things I want to say before the reading. Just a reminder that most Sundays when I bring the message, there is a sermon outline in your bulletins, and that's there to hopefully help you, benefit you. So if you want to take that out and look at that. We also put out Bibles on the chairs every Sunday, and we hope that you use the Bibles. I know that the reading is on the screen, but as we go through the message, I think very helpful to have the Bible open in front of you. So please make use of the Bibles. If you haven't brought your own, they're there for you. I was just thinking yesterday, in the midst of the storm and the chaos we had, I had a really great week last week as a pastor of Nelson Avenue. So thankful for all the work of the kids' camp this past week. And I know some of you, many of you were involved with that. Some of you came to see what we were doing. So very, very thankful. People, you know, beyond the call of duty helping out. Thankful for our elders meeting that we had at the McGaw's house on Tuesday night and for a good start. It's not September yet, but we thought we would get a meeting in before September and just start rolling. So thankful for elders who came ready to lead this church community again. And then also really thankful for Wednesday night, Gospel of John course or class Bible study at our house. And really thankful. It's one of the times where I think God made it more than just a Bible study. Like something happened that night in my heart, the hearts of others. He knit us together. And we can't just assume that happens. I'm so thankful God responded to our prayers and for those who were there and contributed. For me, it was a very memorable evening. I'm also thankful that from time to time I get a little window into your lives. And I just was talking recently to someone who told me that their pretty regular practice is to go out kind of early in the morning for a walk, and they go with a friend of theirs. And at least the way they described it, the walk is about an hour long, and the first half an hour is walking and talking, and the second half an hour is walking and praying. And when I heard that, I was so thankful for this person who is trying, and I know many of us are doing that, trying to make the Christian life very practical in our lives. How do we do that? And I thought, this is, for me, a great example of how someone, I'm walking anyhow, I'm doing this exercise anyhow, let me just incorporate my faith in Jesus with my friend and do some praying for our family, our friends, our church community, whatever it might be. And when I heard that, I was so thankful to hear that kind of news. I was also really thankful and humbled this past week to hear that someone actually took up my challenge to read through the Gospel of John. Last week I was saying, you know, I'm encouraging you to read through the Gospel of John before the fall begins, if possible, and maybe, if at all possible, to read it through in one sitting. And I sort of throw that challenge out there and see what happens, and someone said, I actually did that. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the morning this past week, on one morning, I read through the Gospel of John. Now, longer than I expected, that's okay. And some of you, you know, and others might ask, you know, what's the big deal? Like, why, you know, encourage this? And what's going to happen? What's the practical benefit that will happen to me if I read through the Gospel of John? And I'm not really sure. I don't know what practical benefit happened to this person. But I am convinced that people who dwell in the story of Jesus, or have the story of Jesus dwell in them, I'm convinced that people like that see their day, see their week, see their work, see their family, their friends, their lives in a much better and brighter God perspective, or Jesus perspective. We need to be dwelling in the story of Jesus to see our lives aright. And so I want to invite this morning Grace to come up and to read part of the story of Jesus to us from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 40.
When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you. You're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal, placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, Always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. So, Father, for these remarkable words that you have kept for us, we're so thankful, we're humbled that you've given us your word. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us through the Lord Jesus this morning. We're thankful that your Spirit is working with the Word to reveal your incredible saving, redeeming plan, not just for us, but for your entire creation. Thank you also that you reveal us a little bit in the Word. And typically, O Lord, we are people in need of help. We are people who are not getting what you are telling us. So help us this morning to hear your word rightly, and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ rightly. We pray this through Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, next week, Monday, 8 days from today, is what we call Labor Day, or we might call it Work Day. Even though it's a holiday, we call it Work Day. And I don't think I've ever really given a message about work or labor, so this is my attempt to talk about work or labor 8 days in advance. And I'm hoping it's going to help you. I don't feel good that I've never really preached on labor or work, but this morning's passage really, for me, helps me do that. It helps me talk about the work that God has called us to do. So I want to begin by asking, how would we define work? Or what is work to us? And I was a little bit surprised, but then maybe later on realized it's not so surprising, that as I worked through this morning's message this past week, and as I was using the word work, W-O-O-R-K, a lot, sometimes what I try and do is if I'm using a word a lot, I right-click on it. Maybe you can do this in your program as well, and up comes some synonyms for that word. And I was a little surprised that of the eight words, the eight synonyms, similar words to work that were there, four of them, I took as rather negative. So of the eight words, four of them said toil, drudgery, slog, and grind. I thought, well, that's rather negative in terms of how we think about work, but then I thought maybe some, or more than some in our society, and maybe some of us this morning have that kind of connotation. We think about work, and we think negatively about it. This morning, I want to encourage us not to go down that road, if at all possible. Not to equate work, first of all, or primarily, with drudgery or slog or grind. Other people might say, well, work, if it's not kind of negative, it's associated with a paycheck. If someone pays me for what I do, then that's work. Or if I work so many hours a week at this work, like 35, 40, 45, whatever it is, that's work. Or if I have an office, then I'm working. Or if I have my name on the door of the office, that's work. Or if I get benefits, then I'm really working. And the list could go on. And I'm sure that for me too, when I think about work, it right away goes to those kinds of things. But again, I want to caution us against equating work with hours worked or benefits or paycheck or office or title, because if we do that, we equate work with our job, with employment. And I want to think about work much bigger or much more inclusively. I think that's how God looks at work. This morning, I'm going to quote a number of times from a book by Pastor Tim Keller called Every Good Endeavor, Connecting Your Work to God's Work. And he says early on in that book, there's a quote in your sermon outline if you want to follow along, a job is a vocation only if someone else, and then I put in brackets, God, calls you to it for them rather than for yourself. And so our work can be a calling only if it is reimagined as a mission of service to something beyond merely our own interests. Thinking about work mainly as a means of self-fulfillment and self-realization slowly crushes a person. And I like that. I like that definition of work because it gets us beyond ourselves. So it's work is not primarily about me. I love that phrase. It's a mission of service. But he also links work or our job with the word vocation. And the word vocation is from a Latin word which means to call or to be called. This morning I want to try very hard to link work with calling or work with vocation, because if we can do that, if we can link our work with God's calling, God's vocation for us, then there are all kinds of different works. There are oodles of different vocations that God calls us to do, certainly at different seasons of our lives, but each one of us is called to one, probably more, vocations in any given season of our lives. And with work as vocation or work as calling, I can say this morning to be a nurse or a firefighter. So thankful this morning for firefighters and policemen and rescue crews. But to be a nurse, a firefighter, an engineer, an accountant, those are all vocations. But to be a student is to be called also by God. It is also a vocation. There is also the vocation of fathering and mothering or grandfathering or grandmothering. There's the vocation of being a friend. There is the vocation or the work, I think, of being called to volunteer service. And there's also, I would argue, the vocation of what God calls us to do in our retirement years. And some of us are in those retirement years. We sometimes think of them as maybe non-work years, and maybe, but they are certainly vocation years. God is still calling. God is still calling us into a certain work or vocation. This morning, Jesus is teaching us at least two things about work in the passage that Grayson read for us. Jesus says, first of all, in verse 27 of our chapter, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. My take on that is, do not work primarily or fundamentally for merely earthly food, earthly money, earthly paycheck, or even earthly honor. Don't work for things that will be forgotten one day. Don't work for things that are temporary, brief, fleeting, and not eternal. Rather, work for something, those things that endure for eternal life. And as, again, Tim Keller says, everyone and everything, I add, will be forgotten. Nothing we do will make any difference, and all good endeavors, even the best, will come to naught unless there is God. If the God of the Bible exists and there is a true reality beneath and behind this one, and this life is not the only life, then every good endeavor, even the simplest ones, pursued in response to God's calling, God's vocation, can matter forever. So if our lives are connected to the life to come, then our aim should be to be working for those things that will last forever. To be asking God, I want a vocation, I want a calling, I want to use my vocation and calling to pursue your enduring purposes, not just for me, not just for us, not just in this life, but your enduring purposes into eternity for your entire creation, O God. A second thing that Jesus teaches us in these verses is found in verse 29, where Jesus says in response to, well, what should we do then? What are the works that God wants us to do? Works, plural. And Jesus says, there's really only one work. Verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Which sounds strange at first, maybe to some of us. How can believing be work? But just for a few moments on that, the believing that John is talking about, Jesus is talking about, but that John writes here, this theme of believing or belief is a huge theme in the Gospel of John. About 90 times it's used as you read through the Gospel. It is, in fact, the purpose for which John wrote the Gospel. I'm writing these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. So this believing that Jesus talks about is not a working that we typically associate with working. We're not working for a job or employment or a paycheck. We're working in response to what God has done. Work here is not something to do or to grasp or to accomplish. It's rather working in response to the sending of the Son to the world. So God did all the work. God sent the Son. God arranged human history. He was here. He was healing and teaching and dying and rising and ascending. Now what do we do in response to the coming of Jesus? As I read this verse, I think the work that God calls us to do, the believing of the one God sent, is something that all of us are called to. It's a universal work. And when I hear Jesus say this, I think that what he's saying is faith is the great work. Faith is the great effort or labor or endeavor that God calls us to. Faith is the greatest endeavor of our lives, harder, more challenging than any other work we will ever do, but also more enduring, more satisfying, more rewarding than any other work we will ever do. So this morning, I want to think of it like this. Hopefully this is helpful, because this is sort of based, this is what the rest of the message is based on. But there is a work, capital W work, and there is work, lowercase W work. Work and work. And that capital W work is believing in Jesus, believing that God has sent his Son. And then the lowercase work is the vocation or vocations that God has called us to. And really, as Jesus speaks in verses 27 and 29, talking about work and the work of God, he's really, I think, saying the same thing. He's saying the great work you're called to is this belief in the one God sent. And somehow that work, that capital W work, is meant to impact our lives. And the question I want to ask this morning is, how does that happen? How do we take the great work, which is faith, and connect it to the lowercase w work, our vocations in this life. And I think there are four basic options that the Christian church has tried throughout the centuries. The first option, and I hope some of you will say after the sermon, you shouldn't have said it like that. Some of you should get me in trouble for this, but I'll say it anyhow. The first option is the option of the politician. Now, not all politicians are like this, but I think in our minds, this is sometimes how we think of some politicians. They have, let's say, their work, their beliefs, their principles, and then they have their political work. Capital W, lowercase w, and for, you know, some politicians, they just run side by side. I can be a principled person on Sunday or whenever they go to their place of worship or faith, or they might have principles in their lives, and I have my political work, and those are two faces of who I am. But those two faces don't integrate. And maybe some of us can say, I'm sometimes like that. So that's option number one. W, capital W, lowercase w, they just go side by side. A second option is what I'm going to call the work of the monk or the nun. Now, not all monks and nuns are like this, but this is sort of the standard view. When I become a Christian and I have faith, capital W, work of God, I go and remove myself from the world. And I maybe even hide in a place, a house, or even like a little city or something with a wall around me. And I do my work for God away from the world. I separate myself from all the other work going on. And I am, or we are together, a small community all to ourselves, doing our faith for God, but not really interacting with the rest of the world. Now, that's not true, I know, of every nun and monk, but that's sometimes a standard view. A third view I'm going to call the view of the pastor. So I have faith in God, a capital W, work in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to find a job that's a special job, a Christian job. I'm not going to take a secular job. I'm going to be in the world and interact with people, but because I have capital W, work in God, faith in God, I'm going to take a special job. And sometimes people think about these two W's, these two works, in this way. There's Christian work and there's secular work, and they sometimes connect a little bit, but Christian work is more important than secular work. The fourth option that I would want to commend to you is how the work of God, faith in Jesus Christ, is meant to restore our work. Faith does not bump us into a new Christian category, separated all unto itself or above the rest of people, but rather faith in Christ causes us to become the real us. Faith is not opposed to nature or work or employment, but faith rather restores the life that God has given to us. So Hermann Bavinck, who was a theologian from the 19th into the 20th century, he said that grace, the grace of God, does not remain outside or above or behind nature, but rather the grace of God permeates and wholly renews nature. Christianity does not introduce a single substantial foreign element into the creation. It creates no new cosmos, but rather makes the cosmos new. It restores what was corrupted by sin. It atones the guilty. It cures what is sick. The wounded it heals. So basically, Hermann Bavinck is saying it's not like this, side by side, work and work. It's not like work separates us from the world. It's not like Christian work and secular work. Rather, the work, the grace of God, comes into our work, into our vocations given to us by God, permeates that work. It's called to restore that work. And I think this has huge implications for us. As we think about that, our work is not something bad. actually is something part of God's good creation. God calls each of us into a vocation or vocations, and that vocation is a good thing. Even though we look around the world and we say, that work going on in that place, that factory, that country, even maybe our country, is not right. Those people are too young, too old, not paid enough, they're being taken advantage of. Even though we see sinful work and unjust work, the work itself, what God calls us to do, is part of God's good intention for us. Again, Pastor Tim Keller, the material creation was made by God to be developed, cultivated, and cared for in an endless number of ways through human labor. But even the simplest of these ways is important. Without them all, human life cannot flourish. So I want us to think of work, not just positively, but as God's good for us. And faith in Christ, this capital W work, is meant to reorient our lives, reorient our vocations. And I want to ask this morning, how does that work, or what should it look like? How does the work of God, capital W, lead us to God-honoring energy, hope, even God-honoring ambition in our vocations? So I want to take the example of someone working in the Apple store in the Metrotown Mall. And I want to think, how could that person's work in that store be restored through the work of God, capital W, the faith in Jesus Christ? How does that happen? And I know as I go through some of this, for some of us, it will sound too weird. We'll say, how is that possible that someone could think and act that way? It sounds too spiritual for us. But I submit that unless we start thinking this way, we will never be able to integrate our work and work together. We have to have some capacity for this kind of thinking and believing. And I would also say that although I'm focused on the Apple store this morning, this is really for anyone who works in any vocation, any kind of calling God has given us. So, if I'm working in the Apple store and I believe in Jesus Christ, I want to be someone who thanks God for my vocation in the Apple store. If God has led me there and called me there, then God, by means of my vocation in the Apple store, wants to do good in me and through me. I want to believe that. I want to thank God for the calling he's given me. I want to also, secondly, worship God through my vocation. So not just on Sunday morning, I want it through what I'm doing. You know, I'm punching in numbers or helping a customer. I want to be worshiping God. And if thanksgiving is one of the main ways we worship God, which I think it is, then thanking God for my vocation, point one, is the most vital move in helping me worship God through my vocation. I want to see my work and my vocation in the Apple store as more than just a job. It is a calling, it is a vocation, it is just as spiritual or Christian as the pastor's calling. I don't think most of you believe that, or most of us believe that. But I want to call you to believe that. If you're a Christian working in the Apple store, you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're doing the work of God that he's called you to do, believe that God sent the Son to the world, your work in the Apple store is just as spiritual, just as Christian as the work of the pastor in the church. I know for some people that's so mind-bending, but we have to bend our minds like that if we're going to see our lives rightly. If I'm working in the Apple store, I want to see my faith restoring, redeeming, having an impact on my vocation. If I'm a Christian in the Apple store, I want to do my work well. Not just Tim Keller, but others have said that the way to serve God best is to do the job as well as it can be done. That's very fundamental for Christians. We don't take longer coffee breaks. We don't kind of do a, you know, pretty good job. You know, it's going to get by. We're going to do the best job that we can because we know that our boss is not the boss in the Apple store, right? The boss, as Paul says a number of times in letters, we are working for God. He is the boss. He's watching over us. If I'm working in the Apple store, I want to see my work properly. So it might be great. I don't know. I've never worked in the Apple store, but it might be great. And some might say, I love this job. But if I'm a Christian, I'm saying it's not the ultimate thing. It's not the ultimate thing. If I'm working in the Apple store and I'm a Christian, I want to treat those co-workers and customers well. I want to acknowledge in the morning, you know, I needed my coffee. The power went out. I don't have my coffee. I'm grumpier than usual. I'm going to recognize that. And I'm not going to spill my grumpiness over on my coworkers as best as I can, God helping me. I'm going to try and be a joyful presence in that place. I also want to do good for the company. So I'm not just business interaction with the Apple company. I'm praying for the Apple company. I'm wanting to see that company flourish. And if I hear news that the Apple company is flourishing because it's treating workers wrongly, then I want to be aware of that. I want to bring that into my prayers. I want to maybe talk to my supervisors about that. And maybe, one day I'll say, I have to reconsider my commitment to this company because my commitment to Jesus Christ is higher than my commitment here. And I want to be willing and ready as I'm praying for my coworkers and customers and supervisors and this company that as God gives opportunity, I'm willing to share about who I am. The food I like, the movies I like, but also my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to say every time a customer, oh, I'm a believer. Here's a Bible, because that's not my job in the Apple store. But if the door opens and someone's wondering, why in the world? You know, we're all grumpy. The power's off and didn't have our coffee. But you, there's something different going on this morning with you. What's going on? Did you have some secret coffee somewhere? You have a generator in your house? Is that how you got your coffee this morning? I'm going to say, well, maybe. But the reason is because I see this job as my calling. God's called me here. Something to tell people there's something more than just what we see going on in my life. My final thought about this, and this is a little bit, it's on the script, but I just wrote it out this morning. And this is I have to be a little careful this morning because we have some pictures of the future, but not really detailed pictures. But here goes. If I'm in the Apple store or other vocations I have, my understanding of the future world and the future new creation leads me to think that there will be work to be done there in the new creation. God called Adam and Eve to work in the first creation, and when God restores the creation, there will also be work to be done. However, some vocations and callings will come to an end. One of those vocations and callings is my vocation and calling. I don't think you will have or you will need a pastor on the new creation. So that means that I will need a new vocation one day. But some of you will start very possibly a vocation in this life that will translate into the future life. You will start figuring out in this life how work and work get integrated, and that will translate as Jesus Christ translates you into the new creation. You will already be maybe light years ahead of me because I have not had that. I have to learn a new vocation and try and learn how to mesh my hallelujah to God for all he's done for me with a new vocation that God will give me. So some of you, I want to encourage you, and this morning I'm thinking, I know this sounds a little weird, but I think some of the vocations that will continue into the new creation are the vocations in the arts. I think artists, my understanding, I know it sounds kind of weird this morning, but I think artists, art will continue in the new creation. And for people who are artists now and can mesh their faith and their work and their work now, that will easily translate into the new creation. But others like me, who I have the big W, but I need a new little W, will have to start sort of over in some ways. So I want to encourage us to be people who are thinking about how could my work, my vocation, if it was going to translate in the future, help me in that new creation. Now, I know that sounded a little weird to some of us, but I want to keep vocation not just now, but also into the future, into that great one day. This morning, I want to end by praying for us that God would help us see our jobs, our whatever we're doing, whatever calling we have, as true calling from God, as true vocation from God. And God would help us to integrate large W and small W together in our lives. Let's do that. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful that you give all of us work. You give us all the work of faith. You call each of us to believe that you have sent your Son. So, Father, help us to do that work. And then, Lord, help us to integrate that work with whatever work you call us to do now, whatever it might be. For some of us, we think our work is so important and probably less important than we think it is. And others, Lord, we think our work is not very important, but it's probably more important than we think it is. So, Lord, help all of us to put work and work together. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.